Amen. Okay, are you ready there, Pastor?
Yep.
Great. Awesome. Well, welcome to all of you this morning. I hope you've had a wonderful week, and I hope you're ready to receive the Word of God this morning. I heard this shared a while back. It said, a man who sits in church and thinks about fishing, that's religion. But a man who sits in a boat fishing, thinking about God, that's a relationship. Now, does that mean give you permission to not come to church and go fishing? I don't know. I don't know if it's a permission thing. But I hope this morning as you sit here that you are engaging and thinking about God. So, here's my question for you. Who wants to be like Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, my title of my message this morning is The Two Become One. Now, what month is it?
Six.
June. And it's also known as the wedding month, right? Okay? Just so you know, we're not talking about weddings when I talk about two becoming one. Just because it's June. What I am talking about is this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:17 here. It says, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Are you united with the Lord? You are one with him. The two have become one. One of the things that we like to keep encouraging here at Community Church is knowing who you are in Christ. It's important for us to have a revelation of who we are in Christ.
Yes.
And we start with the foundation of knowing who Jesus Christ is. A couple of weeks ago when we were still doing just the video church, I shared a message called, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's all about him. The gospel is about what Jesus did. He is the good news we preach. Jesus loves you. He took your sins for you. Jesus paid the ultimate price and died for you. Jesus went to the grave and hell for you. He rose again and ascended to heaven, conquering sin, death, and the grave for you. And then he poured out his Holy Spirit on all flesh, on you, in you. That's our foundation that we start with. That's the foundation. He is the cornerstone. He keeps everything lined up together, and it's through him and for him and from him we have our being, right? All right, I need to put my glasses on, otherwise I'm going to start preaching a different message. So, when you accepted Jesus, this free gift came. It didn't cost you anything, but it cost Jesus everything. But it was a free gift of salvation. And you received Jesus, something took place in your heart. Faith rose. And you believed. And at that very moment, something wonderful happened when you received Jesus. You were born again. And if we go to the story in John 3, we see where Jesus is talking with the Pharisee Nicodemus, and they're having a discussion about this, about being born again. And Nicodemus is a teacher of the law. He doesn't understand it. And Jesus kind of reveals something about being born again. You're born in the flesh, but then you have to be born again in the spirit. And Jesus reveals an interesting thing, that he is not only there on earth, but he's also in heaven at the same time. That was a concept there. Again, you start speaking, he talks about, I'm in my Father. You can't tell that. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we've been made alive. We have a new birth. And we have a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be in Jesus? Well, I could spend my whole message just talking on that, but that's not where I want to go. So I'm giving you homework. This week I challenge you to go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and get yourself a little highlighter, a pencil, or pen, or something, and read through it and underline every benefit that we get because we are in Jesus. And not just underline it and just read it, but meditate on it. Let the Holy Spirit bring revelation to you through the Word of God of what the Lord has brought, what He has done, what benefits have come. So we as believers in Jesus Christ, we have been born again. And sometimes that can be a bit hard to understand with our minds. We are new creations. The old is gone and the new is here. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. I love that scripture and I probably preach it every Sunday. We are new creations. The old is gone and the new is here. It's not something you're going to get when you get to heaven. You have it right now. The new is here. You are a new creation. Now, I want you to understand what God is saying here. He is not patching up your old person. He is not taking the old you and making you a better person. He's not transforming that old person. That old person is dead. In fact, Scripture tells us to reconcile ourselves being dead to sin. That old life is dead. And we need to trust the Lord in this, that we want that old life dead. We want that old nature, that old person dead. In fact, this one I have a scripture for. It says, this is from Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is an amazing piece of scripture. We started this morning, who wants to be like Jesus? What does this scripture tell us? He is in us. The old us is dead, remember? The new us, the new creation is created in the image of God, in the image of the Son. He lives in us. And we're going to get to the scriptures to talk about where we are also in Him. Christ lives in me. You know, we are a living spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body. Quite often we do it in reverse. We're a body with a soul. Who has a spirit. And we live from that flesh and that body life, but that's not who you are. You are a new creation, born of the Spirit, born again. You are a living spirit. In fact, you are a life-giving spirit that has a soul and has a body and lives in a body. When Jesus was talking with his disciples, he was trying to explain to them, and this is the scriptures, he said, I apologize. I missed a whole page of scriptures in here, so I can't remember where they start. John 14:11 says, believe me when I say, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Now, we've heard that over time, but do you see that Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in him? Continuing down to verse 20, or 19 and 20, it says, before long the world will not see me anymore. Again, this is Jesus talking. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. One day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. On that day, Jesus says, you will realize. So what is that day that he's referring to? Is he referring to his resurrection? On that day, when they saw him again? Or was he referring to his ascension day, when they saw him rise up into heaven? Or is he referring it to the day you get it? You have revelation of he is in you, and you were in him on that day of revelation. So let's take a look. Where is Jesus now? In Luke 22:29 it says, "But from now on the Son of Man will be seated on the right hand of the mighty God." We know he's seated at the right hand of God Almighty. 1 Peter 3:22 says, "Who has gone into heaven," again speaking of Jesus, "and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him." Colossians 3:3 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." What does it say? "Since then you have been raised with Christ, new life, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father." Ephesians 2:6 says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Jesus." So, where are you right now? In Christ, seated with Christ, in heavenly realms. And that's what we need to get a revelation of. Sometimes we just kind of think of it as kind of symbolic, whatever. That's not true. That's what Jesus is trying to get across to Nicodemus. Something different has happened. You're born again. You're born of God. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You no longer live. It's Christ who lives in you. And where are all the principalities and authorities? In submission to him. And if you're in him, seated in the heavenly places, they're in submission to you. Revelation 3:21. "To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with the Father on his throne." Who has the victory? And we do, because we're in Christ. And if we continue to walk in that revelation and that understanding, he says, "You sit on my throne with me, just as he did." He is done. Sorry, I lost my place. So one of the things, when we understand we're a new creation, we are a new species, a new race. We are kings and priests, right? And we are made of heavenly substance now, of the same seed as Jesus. We are like Jesus. Go, I'm not like Jesus. Hold on. The old you is not like Jesus. The one that died with Christ. The new one who's been raised up in Christ is in an uncorruptible seed of Jesus. 1 John 4:17 says, "This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment." In this world, we are like Christ. We are like Jesus. In this world, we are like Jesus. That's the word of God. Colossians 1:27 says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." He's made this mystery known to you, the Gentiles. Glorious riches of this mystery is that Christ in you, the hope of glory. I was... Ralph last week used the Christmas story for his Father's Day message, and guess what? I'm going to use this part of the Christmas story for my message this morning. I'm looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 34 to 35, and it's the story of Jesus' conception. And the angel has come to Mary and has shared with her what the Lord is going to do through her. And Mary, it says she's troubled, or she's kind of perplexed by it. How is this going to be? This is what she said. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to have been unable to conceive in her sixth month is then in her sixth month. I love this. Listen to this. The angel says, for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary said, answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left. The word, the seed was spoken. The angel spoke it to her, and revelation came. And the Holy Spirit hovered over the word of God in Mary, that she had received this word, and it manifested in new life. It manifested in the Son of God being conceived in her. And so when we believe, when we receive the word of God, the seed spoken to us, received that word, the Holy Spirit hovers over that word, that seed. And that seed manifests new life in us. We believe the word of God by faith. And the Holy Spirit brings and manifests new life in us. Romans 8:29 says this, for God foreknew, for those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God foreknew us, predestined, conformed us to the image of his dear Son. From the seed, that incorruptible seed, we've been born, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So, now what is the point of me bringing all this up? Because you guys all know that. When we get a revelation, when you get a revelation that you are one with Christ, and you understand that you are seated with him right now in heavenly places, that you are as he is, as he is, what does that look like? Is Jesus sinless and pure? So are you, who are in Christ. Is Jesus holy? And in fact, if we read in Revelation that they sing around the throne, his throne, holy, holy, holy. Is Jesus holy, holy, holy? So are you, because you are in him. Is Jesus the Son of God? You are a son of God because you are in him. Is Jesus victorious? You guys are quiet. Get the revelation, people. Then you are victorious. Is he righteous? So are you. Is he the Prince of Peace? Are we carriers of peace? Yes, because we carry the Prince of Peace. You see, he is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our victory. He is our sinlessness, our purity. And we have become one with him. We have come together as one with him. It's the work of the Father. And as he is, so are we here on earth. And each of us needs to see ourselves with our spirit. We need to see ourselves positioned in Christ with all authority that he has to bring the kingdom here to earth. I'm just going to put a plug right now for Crystal's bank account of Jesus. It talks about all that we have in Jesus. And again, you can access it through our website on the whole teaching series. Because we have so much because of Jesus. Now, I want you to take a minute. And if you need to close your eyes, do this. But I want you to use your imagination, to look around heaven. When you think of heaven, what do you see? Just take a minute. Like I said, close your eyes if you need to. What do you see? Observe heaven. Do you see sickness? Do you see disease? Do you see sin? Do you see mocking? How about dishonoring, disrespect, rebellion, or lawlessness? Do you see any of that? No, we don't see that. We see joy everlasting. We see health and wholeness. We see wisdom and creativity. We see peace and beauty and abundance and love and overlove. And we see, it says, beyond all we can dream or imagine. So much more. And when we see where we're seated and we take from what we have there, that's what we're to bring to the earth. As he is, so are we. As you observe what's in heaven. Because you're seated there. And quite often we don't take our chance, or take the time, as we say, take the time to sit in that throne with the Lord and see heaven and know the authority. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revelation of the sons of God. Are you sons of God? Amen. Born of an uncorruptible seed. Sons of God. But the whole of creation, what a translation put it, groans. We groan waiting for the sons of God to manifest. That's another thing. The whole of creation is waiting for us to see who we are, to see us seated in heavenly places with all authority of Jesus, because it's the sons of God that come and bring to earth. Actually, we flow from what we have in heaven into the earth. The whole earth is waiting for us to manifest. But not to be wimpy. Not to be in the status quo of our lives, but to come forth in the new creation you are, bringing forth with it, with you, kingdom. We are sons of God, and as we meditate on that, being in Christ, seated in Christ, the two of us have become one. And letting the Holy Spirit bring revelation. I want you to see, talk a little bit about the courts in the world. We have our civil court that's just here in Camrose. And if you're not happy with the results of that, you can take it to the provincial court. And if you're not happy with the results of that, you take it to the Supreme Court. And that's the final word. That's the highest court. Now, where are you seated? In the highest court. And the word of God is the final word. And all the promises of God are yes and amen for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the final word. And so we don't want to be wimps who just say, oh, we want to manifest sons of God. Stand up like Jesus did. And declare, who are you? Where are you seated right now? You're a son of God seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. With the word of the Lord. And with that understanding, And you speak the words about family members that have wandered astray. Speak it with authority, not wimpiness. Oh, maybe God wanted to my prayer. No. Son, stand up and speak the word of God. When our story of Mary, what did the angel say to her? For no word of God will ever fail. Right? No word of God is ever going to fail. As you are in heaven, as he is in heaven. So we want to stand in this revelation, speak forth for our families, for our country, for our leaders, for the nations of this world. The two have become one. You have become one with Jesus. And what God has joined together, let no man separate. We're going to do something right now. We're going to stand and pray for our country. We want to stand in our heavenly position, in the authority that we've been given in Jesus, and pray for our country and its leaders.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we are a blessed people. We get to call you Father, Abba, Daddy. And you have blessed us by seating us and joining us with your Son. We have become one. We have become one with Jesus. We thank you for that. We thank you for all the privilege and blessing and benefit that has come with that. And Lord, we lift up our country right now. And we speak over Canada and declare and decree that you will be God and have dominion over this nation. And we thank you, Jesus, for every leader that has taken their place in every area of government. And we pray for your wisdom to come upon them. We pray for creative understanding and giftings to come upon them. And Father, we pray for a revelation of you and Jesus to come into their hearts. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you hover over this country. You hover over the words that we're speaking. To bring life. Bring life. And we declare and decree that Canada will be a nation that serves God, that raises Jesus high, and that we, as life-giving spirits, bring life. The life of the kingdom. Here on earth.
Yes.
Father, thank you.
Thank you.
Bless our country, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I pray over every saint in here this morning that this week be a week of revelation in who they are, seated in Christ in heavenly places, and the authority that they rise up in that authority as sons of God, bringing kingdom to earth. Again, Father, be glorified in all we say. Jesus, we cry out, holy, holy, holy. And we give you thanks and praise. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for continuously brooding over the word of God in our hearts, that life will continue to be made manifest. Oh, bless you, Lord. And again, we say, everything is yours, Jesus. Everything is for you and through you and to you. In your name we